We are the Two Mics. Welcome to another... Hang on, I have to start again now. You're not supposed to interrupt me. I said, we are the Two Mics.
We certainly are.
Welcome... You've done it again. Welcome to another exciting version, or episode even, of On The Record.
What do you mean, a version? Well, we've got different versions.
I have two versions. Listen, this is On The Record. Our very successful...
He's gone, by the way, this week, wasn't it?
Yeah. Poor old Brendan. Yeah. Goodness gracious me. He didn't take him long to put the old skins under himself, did he? I'm going to create one of the great football franchises. Oh, no, I'm off to Leicester. Never mind.
I think my heart now has to be on the travel.
It's old news, right? Because I've got to talk to you about a great many things.
Yeah, I know, but he's down the road at Leicester now. He's signed up.
Shocking behaviour, isn't it? I mean, the old Glaswegians mustn't be too happy about it. But, you know, that's another story. Hey, Porky.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Economist this week?
I have seen The Economist. I read it every week.
Do you?
It's so informative. Mm. I tell you something, everybody thinks The Economist is just like business, finance, that kind of stuff. You're joking. It's a compendium of a magazine. Reviews, theatre, television, but gets to the heart of all the big issues in the world.
It does, you're right. It sifts through the noise, focusing on the essential information that tells the real story in a time, and this is very true, when facts actually matter more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely right. And of course, it's got a fantastic reputation. It's been in publication for over 170 years, right?
Yeah.
For the kind of people who never stop asking questions, that's like me.
Yeah.
I never stop asking questions. And we all want to know, why is the world the way it is?
Mm, The Economist is the smart guide to the forces impacting your world. So if you've never stopped asking questions like Porky, you can get a free print copy right now.
And just before you tell people how they can get that, let me tell you what I've seen in this week. Yeah. Okay, I am absolutely fascinated by the meeting between Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, and, of course, President Donald Trump.
Yes.
And the reason they've gone to Vietnam is twofold. It's fantastic. They've gone to Vietnam because Vietnam is a country that was once at war with America, but it's not now. Mm. So Kim Jong-un thought from that perspective that was great.
Yeah.
But also, some cynically would say Kim Jong-un chose Vietnam because it was a country that beat America and sort of rattling the sabre a little bit whilst diplomacy is in the air.
Could well be, but it's not just about politics, not just about economics. There's a great piece in there this week as well, and it says this, how to stay sane on a trip to Mars. And it's all about basically space exploration and how we will soon, probably within our lifetime, be able to take a trip to Mars.
Well, perhaps not in my lifetime, but certainly in the descendants of mine. Be a long, boring journey, so make yourself available to take in lots of information. Yeah. Take a couple of copies of The Economist with you.
Well, exactly. What now do you have to do to get your free print copy of The Economist?
To get your free print copy of The Economist, just text RECORD, R-E-C-O-R-D, to 78070.
Right. I was just going to say that again. Get yourself a free print copy of The Economist. Text the word RECORD, R-E-C-O-R-D, to 78070. Now, listen, I've just been away, right, in one of the greatest places.
That. Yeah, I noticed you've been
away. One of the greatest places. Now, I noticed that you were doing nothing but just slagging me off the whole time I was
slagging
away.
Well,
listen, I've seen reports, right? Yeah. I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I follow other people on Twitter.
And how did I slag you? Go on, name one example.
Well, you did Friday night with Jason Cundy.
That's right.
Instead of me, because I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Right? Now, apparently,
well,
according to...
Some of us apply ourselves to our craft. We don't just push off to La La Land.
Well, I don't
push off to
La La Land either. It's my kids' half term from school. Mm. It's the one time I get to spend some time with my family. Mm. So I fly them all, at great expense, by the way, to myself.
And you went to see your older son, didn't you?
I went to see my older son who lives in Long Beach.
And how is he?
He's very well.
Really?
It was fantastic to see him. He's very chilled out.
Is he in better shape than you?
Very well.
Well, most
very
people in the world are better, in better shape than you.
Yeah, I mean, he's taller. He's a lot taller. He's about, well, you met him in New York.
Yeah, of course
you saw
did,
him a couple of years ago, right? He's about 6'4".
18 months ago.
Six foot four. He's cut all his hair.
Funny enough, my nephew's 6'4".
Yeah. Well, what's that going to do with anything?
Well, you know, it's amazing your offsprings are getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, this is all part of your theory, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
He lives in Long Beach, which is a very sort of quite industrial part of Southern California.
Yeah.
But Orange County, where I was staying, in a place called Newport Beach, is the wealthiest county in America.
In the world.
Right. Well, one of the wealthiest. Yeah, I mean, I imagine there are places in Dubai which might be wealthier.
Sure,
But I tell you what, I've never seen so many F-Paces being driven around. Mercedes.
Oh, you had to mention F-Paces then, did you?
Well, because I've got an F-Pace.
Yeah, that's right. Rolls-Royces then.
I saw loads of Rolls-Royces in Beverly Hills, saw a few, quite a few Bentleys in Newport Beach, loads and loads of Ferraris, lot of, the one car I would say that I saw the most of was the big S-Class Mercedes, the GLS, you know, the 4x4.
Sure.
The one, the expensive Mercedes, not the cheap, nasty one you've got.
Excuse me.
You know, the proper, you know, decent 4x4, huge.
Mine's a two-door sport.
I didn't see
fastback.
Any of them. I didn't see any of them.
No.
Listen, I went to Mercedes World, right, in Surrey, and they haven't got one there. They've got all sorts of other Mercedes,
such
but not yours.
Such a rare car.
Well, yeah, it's rare in that colour. Although, so anyway, do you know what I saw? You know the G-Class Mercedes, the one that looks like a Jeep?
Yes.
I saw one sprayed completely in gold.
In gold.
Parked outside. We stayed in the Marriott, which you'll be familiar with.
Yes.
In two places. First in Newport Beach, and then we moved to Palm Springs, where I've never been. Because, you know, you and I used to go out to LA quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was lovely.
I never really got further than Santa Monica, actually, mostly.
No, well, I'm the same.
Palace, yeah.
No, I'm the same. Yeah. I used to go backwards and forwards to Santa Monica because I'd always be staying in LA.
Yeah.
But it's about the, traffic, fucking hell, it's bad. Yeah. I mean, it took us...
Six-lane highways and still blocked,
well, well, there's one eight lanes.
Eight lanes.
So 16 lanes across. Yeah. And it's still...
eight lanes each and way.
Still,
unbelievable.
And you're still doing 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Also the drivers. There's no speed cameras there at all, right?
No.
The people are driving at high speed. Don't forget as well that the marijuana thing is all over the place. Right? Everywhere you go, there's a massive stench of dope. Mm. Right? We went to Hollywood just
so
a few days.
So everybody's on it, are they?
Well, yeah, because it's now legal.
Including your son, I think, isn't he?
Well, he occasionally smokes, but not as much as he used to because he's now working.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's doing a lot of skateboarding. He's actually, believe it or not, he's become quite successful. He's now sponsored by Nike. Nike
what
now send him. Well, Nike send him.
Doing
their
what?
Skateboarding.
What?
Skateboarding.
Skateboarding's not a professional occupation.
It's in the Olympics. He's telling me they've now it's going to be in the next Olympics in Japan.
Skateboarding?
Skateboarding, yes.
What do?
You stand on a skateboard.
Yeah, I know, and then what happens?
And you do tricks.
Tricks?
You do ollies, you do drop-ins.
Good God.
You do, you know, you go up on a rail.
So your son's a professional skateboarder?
Well, he's semi-pro.
He's got sponsorship from Nike.
From
How
Nike.
Did they find him?
Well, they found him because he met somebody through... He works in a skate shop, right?
Yeah.
And where they sell all this stuff.
Yeah.
And somebody said, you know, you're pretty good. Nike have got this program where if you're good as good as you are, they will use you. Because this is where the media's changing, right? Because there's no point in Nike advertising skateboarding stuff on CBS. Because the kids aren't watching it, right?
No.
So what they do is they do their, you know, their marketing campaigns, put them out on Instagram, put them out on YouTube... And they use people like him, and he gets shoes before they're even on sale.
Right.
He's skating wearing these shoes.
So people boxes go of shoes turning up at his apartment
he's got
every
boxes,
day.
Yeah, I went to his apartment. He's got huge boxes full of clothes, shirts, shoes. From Nike, yeah.
It's not bad, though.
So he's doing all right.
When you bring some back?
Well, because they're for him, they're not for you.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, if he's 6'4", same sort of size, I could have had some of them.
I mean, you've got the world's smallest feet. What size are your feet?
10.
Rubbish.
No,
that
10.
Is absolute
they're 10.
Bollocks.
If you look inside the tongue of the Nike shoe I've got on now,
they do not. They look about like a
10.
Size 6.
No, they're 10.
Well, you can't have feet that big.
I can promise you they're 10.
My feet are size 9.
No, mine are 10.
And mine are bigger than yours.
No,
look, put yours up there.
There you go. We're measuring feet here, folks.
Well, why have you got such big feet?
Well, they're big.
You're like a hobbit.
So you admit they look slightly bigger than yours,
well,
yeah?
Well, they look the same size,
no,
right?
Slightly bigger because my heels are higher than yours, yeah?
Well, you're wearing high-heeled trainers.
No.
These are the sort of shoes people with polio wear.
No, they don't. They are ergonomically designed to...
Yeah, but where's your toe, though?
Keep my...
See, your toe's nowhere near the front.
Rubbish.
They're too fucking big for you.
Rubbish. What are you doing
plank.
Here? Remember, we're not. This is not visual. This is. And what are you doing then? You've got the whole of the end of my. You've got hold of
you've
the
got,
end of my
you've
shoe.
You've got half a thumb space.
No.
Right now, when I
I've
buy
got
shoes,
very wide feet.
When I buy shoes for my kids.
Yeah.
Right. So you're buying them long.
Yeah.
In order to get the width. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But they're actually too long for
no,
you.
No, they're not. No.
You're about two sizes short of that.
Utter rubbish. Anyway, what was your best experience then over in LA? Because I saw you put out a picture of you in a gigantic car. So I thought you'd hired that car, but in fact you weren't driving it, were you?
Well, no, actually I did hire it. I hired a GMC Yukon,
right.
Which is one of these huge American cars. It's like an 8-seater car.
Yeah.
And it's
who
the
makes
size,
that then?
It's made, well, GMC, General Motors Corporation. That's the clue. It's
the
same as, have you ever seen Homeland, that show?
Yeah.
They all drive around in Chevy Suburbans or Cadillac Escalades, right? And so it's that kind of size. And it was a beautiful car to drive, but it was quite unwieldy in the sense that you couldn't... I mean, you could never drive it here.
Like driving a bus.
It's like driving a bus. You'd never be able to park it.
Yeah.
But it had all the mod cons on it. It had, you know, cruise control, had automatic sunroof. It had heated seats and cooled seats as well as heated. But all of the seats were heated, so the kids loved it.
Yeah.
And then I did one day take a chauffeur, that I didn't want to drive into Beverly Hills and Hollywood.
Where are you going to park?
Because I knew, one, I don't know where to park.
Rodeo Drive?
We went to Rodeo Rodeo Drive. We went to a new restaurant, a new hotel as well, which wasn't there when you and I worked there.
Right.
Called the Montage.
The Montage.
Which is the new trendy place in Beverly Hills.
What's the Chinese place on Rodeo Drive? It's a very famous Chinese restaurant.
Mr. Ho's, is it?
Something like that, yeah. Because I went there one night with, believe it or not, Peter Kent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the world's biggest loser.
Yeah. He's one of the many losers that we've known in life.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
I'm not sure if he's the world's biggest.
Do you know, about a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, I suddenly got this, text message or an email or something from somebody called Roger Kent, you know.
Oh, yeah. This is his brother, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and it didn't mean anything to me, you know. And I looked at it and he said, hello, mate, you know, because they're both from Middlesbrough.
Oh, are they?
The border.
Don't think I ever knew Peter Kent.
Didn't you? Never met him, no.
I mean, he's a total con man.
Yeah, complete shyster.
Yeah.
And what he did was he decided on the big time, went over and conned his way through the Inquirer, the Globe, worked down in Florida for them, all that kind of stuff. And then the moment of...
Lantana.
And then, that's right. According to his brother, the moment of, what's the word? The moment of his life came when nobody in America would employ him anymore.
Yes.
When he was about sort of, you know, in his 50s.
So he ran out of road, effectively.
Yeah, ran out of road. Yeah. But, I mean, he was always trying to con people and, you know, Peter made up a lot of stories and Bob Smith will tell you.
Is he not a protégé of yours?
Not at all.
Do you know, I didn't see Bob Smith. Bob Smith messaged me. Yeah. Because his wife is on a trip in Europe.
Right.
Gallivanting around, Maggie, right?
Right, yeah.
And she had sent me a note saying, well, by the way,
she retired now.
I think they both are. Yeah. Bob's in LA, if you fancy.
Yeah.
But the trouble is with the kids and everything, I couldn't really go on the Terps with my mates.
But LA, it doesn't have a tube system like Manhattan.
No.
It doesn't have yellow taxis you can jump in and out. To get anywhere in LA to see somebody else, it's usually about 15 miles.
Long Beach is half an hour from sort of downtown LA.
Yeah, exactly.
The first night we stayed in an airport hotel just because we didn't want to drive.
No.
Because it's like a 10-hour flight, you know.
But anyway, the point of this story,
I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I thought we were talking about me in California.
I was talking about you in California, but it's been back
all... But now it's turned into a story about you.
No, all sorts of California memories. Yeah. All sorts of California memories.
This has nothing to do with California. So, you're talking about fucking Middlesbrough now.
Yeah, Middlesbrough. The borough, you know. So Roger Kent sent me... Hello, mate. You know, Roger Kent.
Had you previously ever spoken to him?
Maybe once.
Right.
Well, I was his hero, because Peter brought him down once to London when we were working there. We went out on the lash and completely blasted.
And you probably paid for everything.
I paid for everything, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true, because I always do that.
Yeah.
Because I like feel
you
big.
Like showing off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. To this bum from Middlesbrough, who earns about $7,000 a year in Middlesbrough, working as a milkman or something.
It's quite
you
good
know
for
I mean?
There, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So he says, I meet you, Roger Tamarita. Well, Peter's come back from America now. He's decided to give it another go in England, you know. And he's, you know, he didn't want to write yes, so I thought I would, you know. And the problem is...
Well, he sent you a letter.
An email. Or something, yeah. you know. I thought, Peter's come back, you know, and he's a terrific, you know, guy in the newspaper and magazine world.
Like he would know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he says, but unfortunately, all the jobs he's applying for now, they want references, and he's come back without any references. Doesn't surprise me.
Well, there's a funny thing.
Nobody ever worked for would give him a fucking reference.
Well,
he didn't
have the balls to ask him for one. So he probably stole a lot of fucking money from him.
Exactly. You know. So. I wondered whether you'd be able to break my really good reverence because he's a great worker, you know, and you're his mate. But as I hadn't met him or seen him for 20 years, I just ended up back saying, hi, Rog, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Send my best wishes to Peter. I think it's probably best as it is. Bang. You know, well, what can I do?
It's very nice of you.
What can I do?
Well, you could have at least spoken to the bloke.
But how did I know that he hadn't, you know, been banished from America or deported?
Well, you could have at least met him.
Why?
Tried to do him a favour.
What's the point? You never had any money.
Because some people are worth helping.
Do you know what I thought about?
I'm not suggesting he's one of them.
I thought about saying, well, tell Peter to come down to London and see me and we'll sit down.
A couple of beers.
Yeah. But then I'd have got the message saying, oh, no, Peter, I haven't got the money to get on the train.
So you had to buy him a ticket.
So I'd have bought him a first class ticket, you know, because that's what I do, and then come down, and then Peter would be full of mad ideas, like, oh, you know. Because he doesn't know me as Porky, he knows me as Mike. You know, Mike, you know, if you, I reckon you give me $20,000, I can set up a magazine, a football magazine in the borough, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother.
You don't want that sort of
problem. But anyway, getting back to...
No, I'll tell you what, one of the great days we had was just driving around with this guy driving us.
Right.
Because we went to, we went to Beverly Hills, and he took us down a couple of the roads that are just, you know, incredible. You forget how incredible it is, right?
Of course so.
You go behind that sort of, you know, the tree-lined streets, and he's like, all the houses on this side of the road are 15 million and up, and this is just average, right? Nothing. Yeah. No massive mansions. This side of the road are all 12 million. He said because people don't like to have a north-facing house.
Yes.
They like a south-facing
house. Yeah,
sure. And just fucking unbelievable. Yeah. And loads of scenes that I remember from like Beverly Hills Cop. Remember the police station that looks kind of like a palace, right?
Looks like a French building.
Yeah, looks like a French building. We went to Santa Monica as well, which has become very trendy.
Yeah.
Went on the pier. Kids went on a few rides. You know,
King's Head?
Had some. Didn't go to the King's Head. Again, because they had the kids with us.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, yeah, but it's a family place.
And the
now.
Day, yeah, but the day, yeah, but it's still a pub. And you know, in America, the drinking culture is very different from here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree,
if you go in a pub in America, there's no kids in there.
No, I agree. Yeah.
You know, what we did do though is we took a ride up to Malibu, which has become very sort of trendy now. And there's no longer Alice's restaurant on the pier.
Yes,
but there is a very nice little place where we stopped and had a drink. And you might have seen that I posted the kale prosecco that I had. Did you see that? You know,
I think
kale
I did. Yeah,
thing.
I think I did.
Was that the one with the celery in it?
No, it wasn't celery. It was just green.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The green stuff.
There was no celery.
I said it was celery.
Well, there was no fucking celery in it.
I replied and said celery, yeah.
Well, it was kale.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they made
a
kale, it was like a kale cocktail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we sat on Malibu Beach, watched the sunset.
Yeah,
and it was just great to
fantastic,
be there.
Fantastic.
I mean, to be honest, I had to say to myself, do I really want to go back to that shithole that's called Britain?
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
No, that's not
until
right.
I got back here.
No, I'm not having that.
No, until I got back here.
You're talking about your country.
No, until I got back here, because I love London and I love Britain.
Yeah.
But when I was there, you lead a completely different life.
Yeah, well, how would you find yourself there? You can't work there anymore.
Well,
there's not a demand for it.
If I was writing books or something, I could, probably.
Writing books? Nobody buys fucking books anymore.
Yeah, well, they do.
They buy my fucking books.
No. Anyway, listen, here's the thing. We're staying in this lovely place in Newport called the Marriott... the Marriott Newport Coast Villas, right? So you had like a... instead of having a couple of hotel rooms, you have your own kind of self-catering.
Lovely.
So you can have your own breakfast if you want.
Yeah.
But we went there and it was the coldest it had been in California for years.
Right, how cold was it?
It was colder than it was here.
Wow.
So it was down to sort of, we'd wake up in the morning, it was like 5 degrees.
Wow.
And
so
we went out.
Central heating.
Well, yeah, it was fine. I mean, you can imagine the great thing about California. Yeah. This is what I've been saying. To
I
people.
Thought they didn't in California.
No,
it's
they
never
do.
Got cold.
So what they don't have is any protection against the rain.
Yeah,
which has also been raining.
Right.
Because I was saying to my kids, you know, by the way, it never rains in Southern California.
Yeah.
There's a song by
That's
a guy
right.
called Albert Hammond.
And it never rains
That's it.
In Southern
right?
California.
That's well, you're almost right. Anyway, so whenever it rains, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's people driving around in cars with their roofs open and all that.
That's right. Yeah.
But we saw when we went down to the first day to the
swimming pool. Hey, Mabel, one of them things called windscreen wipers.
Yeah, what's
we don't
for?
Seem to have them.
But do you know what? I mean, you'll understand Fahrenheit, and not everybody does.
Yes.
But we went the first day. We went to the hotel. There was people swimming, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's not really warm enough to take your sweater off.
Yeah.
I said to the girl behind the desk, I said, "Is it a heated swimming pool?" She said, "Oh yes, sir." I said, "How hot is it?" 83 degrees Fahrenheit.
What, the swimming
83
pool?
83 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that's like being in a hot tub.
Well, it's not, actually, because the hot tub's hotter. But they had hot tubs outside.
Okay.
They had a bar there. They had anything you could imagine wanting.
What did the lady like who said 83 degrees?
What did she like?
Yeah, what did she look like?
Oh, she looked good.
Well, yeah,
blonde.
Well, all people in California look good, don't they? That's
blonde,
the thing.
You know, fairly well turned out, I would say. She was wearing a Marriott uniform.
Yeah.
You'd have liked her.
Yeah,
you know.
Definitely,
But the American thing I love about the Americans, right, is that not one of them gives a fuck about global warming.
No.
They're all driving around these massive cars.
Yeah, that's right.
They're
turning
up all the air conditioning and the heat
that
they can.
That's on the West Coast. They're all the nutters in New York complaining about it when the snow comes down.
Well, not really, no. I mean, California's quite a green place. I mean, we went to Palm Springs, which is the home of Frank Sinatra and Bob Hope and all those guys, right?
Come fly with me.
And also,
come
do you know what else? We wanted to go there, but we didn't. It's the home of the first Betty Ford Clinic in Rancho Mirage.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is right next to it.
Right? Yeah,
I wanted
Mirage,
to go and get a picture taken outside, but I thought I might not see the funny side.
Yeah.
But there's loads of, like, wind turbines in Palm Springs because it's quite green. There's quite a lot of... you know, solar panels as well.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I mean, the road systems, the trucks and the energy they use, they don't give a fuck about it.
Because it's so cheap.
Yeah,
it's
they
a dollar,
just use so
it's
much.
It's a dollar a gallon.
And also, do you know what else they've got when in Long Beach, where my son lives?
Yes.
They've got these individual oil derricks, you know, things that go up and down.
Yeah, yeah, like nodding horses.
Right. But you can actually you can actually buy into one. I thought Porky would love this.
Yeah.
Because apparently you can walk into a shop there and say, I'd like to buy into this oil well.
Right.
Right. So you can put down like 10 grand and you can be part owner of an oil well.
Right.
Which I thought you'd quite like.
Well, if it's in the fracking revolution...
It'd be like the Beverly... Well, it's oil, though, they're doing.
But the fracking is where you get the oil and the gas
from. You could be like the Beverly Hillbillies.
The Beverly Hillbillies, that's right. Mm. And I tell you something, because America are going to become the biggest producer of oil next year, because fracking has been so successful, they will overtake Saudi Arabia in terms of production, and that will bring down... The world price of a barrel of oil.
Right.
J.R. Ewing.
Well, you don't want to invest in it then, do you, if it's going to be cheap?
No, you do, because there'll be millions going out around the world. J.R. Ewing, we love you.
So anyway, I mean, I'll tell you one final story, right?
Yeah.
Because I was coming back from LAX, and we had to drive from Palm Springs. It took quite a long time.
Right.
I'm a member of this thing called Dragon Pass, right, which is how you get into the lounge, because I haven't got a big enough number of miles on British Airways to get to the British Airways lounge.
Sure, sure.
So I go to, and we'd been in the Dragon Pass lounge in London before we left, right?
Okay.
So we walk
up. Is it a decent lounge?
It's nice, yeah. I mean, it means you got free drink,
And where do you get that from?
I get it through my bank, basically.
Right, okay,
It comes through either the bank or the Amex card, something like that. Yeah. And you can take three guests, right?
Yeah.
So we go to the one in LA, which is run by Korean Air, believe it or not. Right?
Okay.
So there's this Korean woman standing at the front.
That'd be South Korea, obviously.
Yeah, not North Korea. Yeah. North Korean Airlines is not so good.
No, exactly.
I don't think you'd fancy that.
No.
So South Korean Airlines.
In the North Korean Airline business lounge,
right,
you have to eat bark off the tree.
Yeah, bring your own tree as well.
Right,
yeah. Anyway, this woman's standing there, and she said, "Oh, I've got an app."
Yeah,
you know, I said, "Do you want to see my membership number?" Blah blah.
Yeah.
She's like, "I need to see your card." So all right, so I got the card. I gave it to her. You have another card? I said, "No, I have one card." You know. She says, "Oh, one card you can only take two people altogether."
And you've got three, yeah.
I said, "Well, I've got three."
Yeah.
And, you know, two of them are children.
Yeah.
So can't you count the two kids as one?
Yes.
No. I said, well,
that's very unhelpful.
I said, well, hang on. I said, you know, I pay money for this.
Mm.
You know, it was I could take three people in London.
Mm.
Oh, every airport different.
Mm.
I said, well, it seems a bit unfair. I said, you're telling me that my children, who have been on a very long car journey and who are about to take a very long plane trip of 10 hours back to London,
cannot rest.
Are you telling me that you're not going to let them into your very fine lounge? No. I said, you're a very cruel woman. And I thought to myself, and I don't wish to be in any way racist here, but I thought to myself, you know, some of these women can be very cruel.
Yeah.
And she absolutely didn't bat an eyelid. She did not care.
So what happened?
We walked away. But luckily, LAX is a much better airport than Heathrow.
Right.
It's much more modern.
Right.
So there was a great bar.
Well, hang on. Heathrow Terminal 5 is the most modern
but it's cramped
terminal
now.
In the world.
But it's now cramped
because
there's so many people flying through it. LAX, it was lovely. We found this really nice, very nice bar. It sold Chinese food as well, which we didn't eat. But, you know, we had plenty to drink, which I just paid for in cash.
Couldn't you have offered the Korean lounge woman to pay for the fourth person?
I did try that. She wasn't having any of it. Because you pay anyway.
Helpless.
I mean, you have to pay for the additional guests. It's not like they're fucking...
Not good.
They're not like giving you anything for nothing. And the only reason I would use the lounge is if the airport is very busy.
Yeah, sure.
Which in Heathrow it was.
Yeah, sure.
But at LAX it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I was a bit
not
disappointed
good.
About that. In
not
fact,
good.
I have to take it up with the Dragon Pass people and say, you know,
would,
it's all very well calling it Dragon Pass.
Yeah.
You're a fucking dragon running it.
That's right, yeah.
You know, that's not what we want.
That's right, absolutely.
We're not happy. So what have I missed, anyway?
Well, you have missed a lot, but you have missed a very, very disturbing scene outside Sutton Railway Station.
I saw this.
Now
Sutton Railway Station is a place you spend a lot of time in.
Not spend a lot of time in. I live in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey.
You live in Sutton.
But I live in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey, way south of Sutton.
Everybody knows.
And if I want to get into town quickly, a car comes, picks me up, takes me to Sutton High Street, and I leap out the car and I go into Sutton. Now, for a long time, 2 or 3 years, there have been homeless bums congregating.
Yeah.
But having said that,
do you ever
does
give
not,
them any money?
That, no, never.
Do you
never.
Ever give them any cigarettes?
Not necessarily.
Because you have done that in the past.
Well, only to a guy who used to stand night after night after Tesco's, outside of Tesco's, which is next to the station.
Right.
And I felt, well, he's actually working, because he's standing there.
How's
all
he working?
Night. Well, he's standing there, he's putting his hours in, he's 6 hours on the street with his little can and all that. So I bought him some fish and chips and some cigarettes.
All right.
And I didn't give him money in case he spent it on drugs. So I was practical, okay?
Okay.
Very practical.
And you
very
made
grateful.
Sure you recorded it all on your camera,
I did,
you?
Yeah.
So that you could virtue signal it to everybody.
Yes,
else.
I did, yes.
Look at me, I've given some fucking money and some fish and chips and some fags.
It was to encourage other people to look after those less privileged in life than you are.
Yeah.
That was my message.
Is that right?
Not bigging me up.
Well, listen,
if
I can
big myself down. I big myself down.
You big yourself down. I can tell you something about that footage, though, because the footage shows basically these hideous, ghastly creatures working for South East Rail,
I think.
Or South West Rail, is it?
South East, I think.
South East.
Yeah.
Pouring water around a guy who's clearly homeless.
Well, they didn't just do that. They put it on the pavement towards him.
Yeah, yeah.
So it ran underneath his body.
They're pouring water all around him.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily they didn't throw it over him, as far as I can tell.
No, they didn't.
But I don't know if you recognise either of these two characters.
Well, I didn't recognise
them. One of them had quite a long beard. and the other one was wearing a yellow vest.
No, I didn't recognise the characters, really? But then again, I'm not that familiar with people who work at certain stations.
Well, why not? You go there every day.
I go there maybe three or four times a week if I come into town.
So you don't recognise the people that work there?
But sometimes I go to Epsom Station, sometimes I go to Purley, because, it depends which way I'm coming into London and what I want to do.
I see.
Right, now, what I'm going to say to you is... Without a shadow of a doubt, something needs to be done about these homeless bums. Now, of course, I am sympathetic and empathetic to... Yes, I am.
You are not.
I am.
You hate homeless people.
Well, I don't like people who stand around holding cans of beer, drinking, who look filthy, who smoke...
Well, you shouldn't go to Wetherspoons, then.
I'll ignore that ridiculous comment. And throw cigarette butts on the pavement.
Mm. Yeah, they've got money to smoke, right?
Who smell... who sometimes have flea-bitten dogs with them.
Well, is this why they were trying to throw water over them?
No, I think the...
He hadn't soiled himself or anything,
had he? He hadn't soiled himself, but the thing is that they... Part of the, believe it or not, the licence, when you get a licence to run railway networks and stations, you have to keep the pathway outside the station clean. Right. They'd ask the guy apparently to move three times.
They'd ask the guy to move three times.
Yeah. And anyway, it's a filthy and horrible sight to be commuting in the morning and seeing some...
He doesn't want to be there, does he?
Under his face. Well...
He doesn't want to be homeless.
I believe in this country, and I'm not being heartless, that the welfare system is too generous, and that forces employers to have to pay exorbitant wages to those in work.
That's rubbish.
Because if you're out of work, you can make quite a good living in this country.
Well, if you're begging, you can make quite a good living.
Yeah,
do you reckon this guy was a genuine beggar?
No, I don't think he was a beggar. No. I think he was just a down and out.
He didn't look very well.
No.
I mean, he didn't look as if he knew what was going on.
And he's been offered help, and somebody's put him up for a week since that incident happened.
Right.
But that was a week
somebody
ago.
Somebody in Sutton,
yeah, put it up for a week, yeah, not me.
Not you. And, well, some people were saying to me on Twitter, sending me this footage and saying, was Porky and the Wetherspoons opposite, and did he call for these guys to do exactly what they were doing?
No, definitely
because the
not.
Kind of thing you would ask people to do.
No, I would never
initiate. To remove the offending person from Sutton Station.
Not at all.
You walked there.
I would never initiate violence, intimidation, or just bullying against another human being.
Wouldn't
That's
you?
Outrageous, you know.
Did you recognise the bum?
I didn't recognise a bum, but, you know, a bum is a bum. I don't stare at people's faces,
you know? Where I saw? There's a lot of them in L.A., by the way.
Right.
And all around California.
Is that
a lot
right?
of homeless
yeah.
people.
Yeah, yeah.
But the many of them are just drug addicts, right? And it was, in fact, as we went down Sunset Boulevard on the, on the day I had the driver, there was a whole tented city outside a part of West Hollywood where they went, and the fire department were there because there'd been some kind of a fight and they were breaking it all up and it's all a bit of a bad scene.
Yeah.
But... the final kind of ignominy for me was as I was returning the big GMC Yukon back to the hire car company at the airport.
Yes.
I had to fill it up with petrol because I'd done the deal, you know, where you return it full.
Yes.
And I was about sort of a quarter of a tank short.
Yeah.
Pulled into this Shell garage.
Yeah. And they have a sign there saying, don't let these guys pump your gas.
Well, exactly. Well, they didn't have a sign, but they're all there.
Yeah, right.
All these guys.
And they want to pump your
gas.
And
they were all fucking looking like mad, staring
eyes. Yeah, like zombies.
So
yeah.
I get out of the car. I said to my other half, I said, just lock the car.
Yeah.
Don't fucking open the door. Mm, don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want me to pump your gas?
Mm.
No. And some of them go, hey, man, need help? No. I mean, in the end, I had to tell them all to fuck off.
Exactly.
I was like, fuck off, right? I'm going in. And the weird thing in America, you've got to go in and pay for the gas first.
Yeah.
And then put it into the car. Yeah. And frustratingly, I said, well, give me $20 worth. Because I thought that'd be enough. And it was just a little bit short.
Right.
So I'm waiting for the bill now to see if they're going to charge me some exorbitant amount of money.
That's right.
For not returning it full.
For probably half a gallon of petrol or something like that. Mm. But anyway, so, you know, I have a heart, obviously, and I want to help these guys.
Well, you're one-third of a heart you've got.
Yeah, well, one-third of a heart. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And been a few developments there, by the way, with Dr. Banner and all that. Yeah,
really? Well, have you been to see him?
Well, there could be new technology on the horizon,
but
I don't want to say too much about
that. Well, you know, I did think of you, because where Ziggy goes when we go on a long holiday is back to where we got him from, the breeder.
Yes.
And she's just down the road from Dr. Banner.
That's right, she is, yeah.
In Uxbridge.
Yeah, I've actually passed the...
Hairfield.
You go on a road across a railway bridge in a kinky S-turn.
And where you end up
that's
at the top of the hill, and then you turn right to get to Hairfield.
That's right.
She's almost at the bottom of that hill.
Yeah, I know, Yeah, that's very good.
Lots of Labradors there.
Yeah, but anyway, so I don't want any harm to come to these people, but I mean...
But
you know,
are they all in Sutton?
They're not all in Sutton. You go to any railway station in this country and you will find them in some of the best
areas. There's none of them
areas.
In Battle.
So in some of the best...
There's none of them down there.
Well, that's too far out. Battle's too far out. The thing about Sutton is it's technically in Greater London.
Yeah.
So when...
Well, you're saying it's not actually Stockbroker Belt, sorry.
Well, no, because I come out of Sutton. I go to Stockbroker Belt, sorry, which is you know, a good 3 or 4 miles down the road.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that these beggars work on volume. Mm. Now, the people who pour out of Sutton Station at night, okay, is voluminous.
Yeah.
And they hope to get money off them. Mm. And they're not beggars in the sense they're full-time beggars. They don't dress like beggars. They don't have a can.
Yeah.
They just put their hand out and ask for money. And some foolish people give it them. Yeah.
There was one on the tube the other day. This woman got on, obviously Eastern European, and had a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even notice it because I was
hungry
busy
and homeless.
Yeah. Mm. No, but she started speaking in a very broken English accent and sort of shoving this bit of paper in her front. I told her to fuck off as well.
Do you know what they do? They put packages of tissues on your table.
Yeah.
Have you had that?
No.
Yeah, they walk down and they put a package of tissues on your table with a card on top saying, you know, if you would pay £1 for these tissues, it would help me. They've probably stolen the tissues from somewhere.
Because where tissues, has this happened then?
Tissues.
Is this in Wetherspoons?
No, this happens on a commuter train coming into London.
On the train?
Yeah, they do that, yeah.
Blimey.
And bearing in mind those tissues cost 50p to buy in a shop, I reckon they've nicked them all.
Yeah, probably.
I reckon they've nicked a batch of them and they say, maybe £1.
Well, a lot of these people are in organised crime gangs.
Of course they are.
You know? And they all come back at the end of the day, having been people trafficked here or something like that.
By the way.
And they've made a fortune.
Talking about organised crime, right? Next time we do a Porky Vision, I'm going to do Baptiste.
Baptiste?
Baptiste. Have you heard about this?
No.
Utterly fantastic.
Well, don't do it now.
No, I'm not going to do it now, but it's all about organised crime in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
You know, prostitution
Is
rings.
Is it a Dutch show?
No, it's
like
British.
Like Van der Valk?
No, it's British, but it...
Who's in it?
Tom Hollander. The midget guy.
The guy from the Night Manager.
Night Manager, who was actually entirely innocent in the sense that he was the best colleague of the big crook, Laurie, what's his name?
Laurie?
No, Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie was the major gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name, I've just said? Tom Hollander. Was his right-hand
Didn't
man.
Didn't he get killed in the end?
Yeah, but he got killed by the man who's going to be the next James Bond.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Tom somebody else, wasn't it?
Tom.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Tom.
Yeah, you know, the man of the Night Manager, the star of the Night Manager, it was Hugh Laurie other guy. And the other guy.
Oh, Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston. That's
Is he going to be the next Bond?
He's going to be the next Bond.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, what's his face?
Either him or Bodyguard, right?
No, I thought it was going to be Idris Elba.
No, don't think so.
Are you sure?
It's going to be him or it's going to be...
Don't you remember that picture he put out?
Bodyguard guy. Yeah, but I think things have changed.
With Daniel Craig.
I think things have changed.
Right.
But anyway, just...
What did you make of the Oscars, by the way, earlier this week?
No, on the Baptiste one, right, it's all about prostitution rings and all that.
Yeah.
Organised crime, it's all organised by the Romanians. The Romanians have taken over Amsterdam.
Well, the Eastern Europeans...
Unbelievable.
The Eastern Europeans have taken over organised crime.
Yeah, they have,
I mean, forget the Mafia. Forget all about, you know, the
yardies agree.
From Jamaica.
And they're not nice people.
They're very nice people. There used to be a gang of Albanians in Glasgow
right.
who used to drive around with machine guns in the car.
Good girl.
And if anybody got in their way, they'd just shoot them.
Well, that's not legal.
Yeah, of course they're not legal. They're gangsters.
I should think the Strathclyde police would have had a view on that one, you know.
Well, maybe.
But what these guys do is they go and ask somebody to do something. They don't do. They send another bloke round whose speciality is to put a plastic bag over your head and then tighten the cord around your neck until you...
Until you expire.
Die.
Yeah,
And then, just to warn anybody else... Mm. They then produce a chainsaw out of the car and they saw your head off.
No.
Yes, they put the head in.
This is on regular television.
This is on regular television.
Is it?
They put the head in a bag and then they send it to people who are giving them a problem saying you wouldn't like to end up like this, would you?
Right.
It's not nice at all.
That is not nice at all. Now, the other thing I have to ask you about while I was away,
so
I couldn't help noticing, right?
Yes.
That you seem to be doing your one man show.
Oh, yes.
Without me.
Well, you can only do a one-man show with one man. That's me, okay?
Well, why are you doing a one-man show without me?
Well, I might tell you all about that when the day comes, all right?
Well,
or closer to the day.
Hang on. Well, when are you doing it? Where is it?
Well, it's on March the 30th.
March the 30th.
And it's at the Head and Chickens, our original theatre, where we made
our
debut.
Where we started.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, why am I not doing it with you?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
The thing is that I don't want to interfere with your burgeoning radio broadcasting career on talk radio.
Well,
I think you're doing very well.
Well, I think it's going very well,
I think you're doing very well.
It doesn't mean that the two mics is no longer a thing.
Well, the two mics will be doing a big show in Leeds in July.
Well, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah, we still need to pin that. You keep telling everybody we're doing it.
Yeah.
We haven't got the final dates yet.
But you're in charge of organising.
Yeah, I know.
Haven't you fucking organised it yet?
I'm hoping that I'll get confirmation in
You've
the next
been
few
away,
days.
But you've got, you know, email, you've got text, you've got the ability to phone and
when
ring
I'm
people.
With my family. Listen,
yeah, you've gone. You fuck off, don't you? Leave all the business affairs to me again.
Not at all. No. When I'm with
so it's
my
no
family.
Wonder, is it? I've decided a one man show's got to be the future, okay?
Because
then when I'm organising things, they get done.
No, I see.
All right?
Are there any tickets left?
No.
Do you know what I thought about doing?
Of course not.
And do you know what I thought about doing?
What?
I thought about buying all the tickets, right? And then when you turn up, yeah, thinking you've sold everything,
yeah,
there'd be no fucker there.
Yeah. Except you sitting in a seat in the middle saying, no, this is it, Porky, sorry.
It.
Actually, you could have, because there's only 54 tickets and they're £10 each.
I know.
So you could have spent £540 quid.
Seriously, it crossed my mind. But because I was away, I couldn't organise it in time.
No.
So I couldn't do it.
See, mischievous, pathetic, measly minded.
No, listen, I'm sure it'll be great.
It will be great.
It will be great. And if anybody wants a ticket, you could get one for a fiver now, because they're being resold by StubHub.
No way.
For half price.
No way. 50 quid now,
really?
On the resale market.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, with two mics. You've got the world's smallest feet. What size are your feet?
10.
Rubbish.
No,
that
10.
Is absolute
they're 10.
Bollocks.
If you look inside the tongue of the Nike shoe I've got on now,
they do not. They look about like a
10.
Size 6.
No, they're 10.
Well, you can't have feet that big.
I can promise you they're 10.
My feet are size 9.
No, mine are 10.
And mine are bigger than yours.
No.
Look, put yours up there.
There you go. We're measuring feet here, folks.
Well, why have you got such big feet?
Well, they're big.
You like a
hobbit. So you admit they look slightly bigger than yours.
Well,
yeah?
They look the same size.
No, they're slightly bigger because my heels are higher than yours.
No,
yeah?
Well, you're wearing high-heeled trainers.
No.
These are the sort of shoes people with polio wear.
No, they don't. They are ergonomically designed to.
Yeah, but where's your toe? Though?
Keep my.
See, your toe's nowhere near the front.
Rubbish.
They're too fucking big for you.
Rubbish. What are you doing
plank.
Here? Remember, we're not. This is not visual. This is. And what are you doing then? You've got the whole of the end of my.
You've
got hold of
you've
the
got,
end of my
you've
shoe.
You've got half a thumb space.
No.
Right now, when I
I've
buy
got
shoes,
very wide feet.
When I buy shoes for my kids.
Yeah.
Right, so you're buying them long.
Yeah.
In order to get the width. That's
no.
what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they're actually too long for
no,
you.
They're not. No.
Pull into this Shell garage.
Yeah, they have a sign there saying, don't let these guys pump your gas.
Well, exactly. Well, they didn't have a sign, but they're all there.
Yeah, right.
All these guys.
And they want to pump your gas.
And they were all fucking looking like mad, staring
eyes. Yeah, like zombies.
So I get out of the car, I said to my other half, I said, just lock the car.
Yeah.
Don't fucking open the door, don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want me to pump your gas?
Mm.
No.
Mm.
And some of them go, hey, man, need help?
No.
Mm. I mean, in the end, I had to tell them all to fuck off.
Exactly.
I was like, fuck off.
Listen. Yeah, you've gone. You fuck off. Don't you leave all the business affairs to me again.
Not at all. No.